soon as I was out of my body, I started moving, you know, and I was in this amazing energy that felt, I guess, like bliss, peace, serenity, happiness, no stress, no struggles, no worries, no nothing, just beauty. When I enter the light field, this beautiful white light, there's Jesus standing again. This time he's full body. The first time it was just his face that appeared. And he started talking to me. And he was basically showing me that I was a person who didn't use my free choice ability well at all, because I was trained to do what you said, the authority, be it the priest, my mother, my father, whoever it was, my husband when I got married, I always followed the rules. It's a mission in truth, and I didn't know what that means, but now I do know that he has brought me the wisdom that he knew and lived, like these laws of the universe, and how you apply them to your moment-to-moment life.
After too much procrastination, finally the shop is up on sarahwestell.com with all of my favorite products and affiliates. Between this and Patreon donations, I can keep providing you with important independent reporting and interesting interviews. Products available include the skincare products I personally use, hemp oil infused with C60 serum and Defy Times TAM serum. Also, Tetragen's amazing weight loss product that gives you an industry-first money-back guarantee because they know it works. Please visit my shop to support independent journalism and to get the absolute best products on the market. Also, for a limited time, be sure to download the free ebook, Water, How Water Connects All Living Things. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have an amazing person coming to the show. Her name is Virginia Ellen. You know, with all this ugly truth coming to the table, we need this ugly truth coming to the table. All the things that are going on in our country, all the things that are going on worldwide, we need that truth to come out so that we can solve these problems. Hiding from it doesn't do us any good. And there's a lot of truth that, frankly, nobody wants to believe. But it's true, and we have to face it, and we have to have the courage to face it. Well, Virginia Ellen is someone that I've had many people, my patrons and many others, come to me and say, you know, you should really talk to this person. She's a very interesting and wise individual. And let me give you a little bit of background. She had a near-death experience, and since that, her life completely changed. And she claims that she met Jesus and that Jesus taught her many things. And since she had that experience, she believed that she was able to talk to Jesus and still does to this day. And you don't have to believe her story. It doesn't matter. But what she's teaching and how beautiful the story is something that can't be bad. I mean, she teaches such beauty and such positive information and positive, helps people in such a positive way that it doesn't matter if you believe her or not, if you can listen and maybe get something out of this story, because it's something that we all need. We need a way to find peace in this chaos. We need a way to fight this without violence, but with extreme perseverance. We need to stay strong and not let ourselves be overly stressed or depressed with what we're going to be seeing now, we've already been seeing, and now what we're going to see over the next year or two. We got to think of this as positive because we're seeing so much darkness being revealed. And that means we can fix it. That means we can go forward and we can be better. So let's get into this amazing interview with Virginia Ellen. Hi, Virginia. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited.
I've had a lot of people. Sure. Yeah, well, I've had a lot of people who have said I should really talk to you. You have a beautiful story to share. And with the chaos in the world, I think we need some beauty and some light to come in this direction and to out to everybody. You had a near-death experience, and it's such a remarkable story. Can you share that with us?
Yes, I can. So I was in Washington State. I had just moved from Southern California, where I was raised, and it was definitely different there. And I bought a bed and breakfast. I created a bed and breakfast, bought an old home. And I wasn't very happy because the sun never shined, and it was rather depressing. And, you know, I missed my family. I missed my friends. I missed my life. And so I was sort of in a down at the time. And a guest from Australia came, and her name was Zia, and she asked me if I would like an energy healing. And I didn't know what she was talking about at that point. And when she laid her hands on me, and I went into a very meditative state, Jesus appeared. And I was shocked because I was not a Jesus person. I didn't pray to Jesus. I didn't think about Jesus. And here he is talking to me. And he said to me, it's time to lay down the cross. And I didn't understand what he was talking about. And I didn't ask any questions because the impact of the energy and the light emanating from him just enveloped me. And I was speechless, basically. And it only lasted a second or so. And then he left.
How old were you at the time?
I was in my 40s, early 40s.
Okay.
And then I told this woman, Zia, what happened. And she didn't say anything like, oh, my goodness, how wonderful. Or that's, everybody sees that, or nothing. It was just like, no big deal. So I thought, well, everybody that has an energy healing would see a saint or, you know, a master or an angel or something. But I didn't know. So I just forgot about it. I didn't think it was a revelation or a big deal. And I went on with my life. I was busy, you know, with guests and cooking and cleaning and all that. And so then a week later, I got extremely ill. And I had never had the flu before in my life. My children had, my husband had, but not me. And all of a sudden, I had this horrendous flu, and everything was coming out of me. And as I laid there with a high fever, finally, like, I would feel my organs releasing, and I would, what was coming out was like a rainbow of colors, depending on what organ was releasing. And it was really like a spiritual purge to me. And then on the third day, I had this very unusual sensation. And intuitively, I said, I'm dying.
You just knew.
And the next thought, I just knew.
It just like, felt differently. Was it
this in me.
Was it almost like a complete energy, like this energy was, your body didn't have energy? Or what was it that made it feel like you were dying?
Well, it was something that sort of went through my blood. My whole body felt this energy, and it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. And I interpreted that intuitively, why I don't know, is I'm dying. And the next thought was, good, it's over. Because obviously I was not a happy camper. And so I left instantly because I had no resistance to being there. I didn't think about my family. I didn't think about anything. I was just so grateful to leave. So I left. And as soon as I was out of my body, I started moving, you know, and I was in this amazing energy that felt, I guess, like bliss, peace, serenity, happiness, no stress, no struggles, no worries, no nothing, just beauty.
And all that pain feeling over the last 3 days was gone? I mean, you just suddenly had relief?
Yes. I did. I had no pain. I had nothing but this beautiful feeling that was joyful and peaceful and, you know, just serenity. And I was moving. I knew that I was like, you know, I was moving through this tunnel, I guess they call it. But it wasn't light. And then suddenly in the distance, I see a light. and I'm moving towards this light. When I enter the light field, this beautiful white light, there's Jesus standing again. This time he's full body. The first time it was just his face that appeared. And he started talking to me. And he was basically showing me that I was a person who didn't use my free choice ability well at all, because I was trained to do what you said, the authority, be it the priest, my mother, my father, whoever it was, my husband when I got married, I always followed the rules to perfection. So I didn't ask myself or feel that I really didn't want to do this, that I really wanted something so different. So I didn't know myself. I didn't know who I was. And so that's what he was showing me, that I would be, we knew what happened, but if I had listened to me, this spirit in me, this energy that I am, it would have taken me on a whole different road, like a fork in the road, or even a 180 degree turn. It was so dramatically different. And so I watched this over and over and over at different times in my life. And then I said to him, I missed my whole life, didn't I? And he said, yes. I said, well, now that I know, could I go back and do it again? And he said, yes. If you agree to change every concept of your life. And at that time, I didn't even understand belief systems or concepts that he was talking about. So I agreed, because I was so excited, thinking I was going to come back and I was going to have total intuitive awareness of what I should be doing in life. What choices should I make? Well, I did come back and I was fine, but I didn't have that ability. So,
was the next day just like before? I mean, other than having that experience, was it like, okay, I'm not different yet?
Yeah, I mean, I just got up, made my son breakfast. He got on the school bus as every day, you know, made lunches and all that. And then I, you know, started to meditate. And we lived on 15 acres in the country. And then he showed up again, Jesus. And he began to teach me this amazing practice called mystical Egyptian yoga. And he taught me the principles and the laws of the universe. We started learning because we live by man's law. And that's what I did. I lived by man's law, and rather than divine law, the laws of the universe. So I was not really able to make this different choice, because I didn't understand the science of life and my connection to that. And so it was, you know, I just learned daily from him every day, and everything he taught me would work right away.
Was there any time that you questioned whether it was truly Jesus, or did you just inherently feel like it was? I mean, how did you know?
Well, I saw him. And of course, he looked like the biblical Jesus, you know, because that's the only vision I would have of him. And he also had this energy in his voice that would enter you, you know, like it affected your being, like your soul. It would just go so deeply into you that you would change from listening to his words. And so I did doubt, however, because, you know, I thought maybe I'm just going crazy, you know, or something. And so and then a friend of mine who came by and he showed me this flyer, and he said, I'm going to this class. I thought you might be interested. And I was in somewhat of a spiritual community at that point. And it was opening to channel, excuse me, workshop. And it was in Tacoma, Washington, which I lived in Olympia. So I said yes, because I wanted to know, am I making this up, or am I really speaking to somebody that's real, you know, Jesus. And so I went, and it was a room full of about 25 people. And the woman was very gifted, and she would walk around and she would see and say, oh, Sarah, behind you or above you is, you know, Archangel Michael. And he is, you know, the one that is speaking. And then she got to me, and I, you know, was nervous, of course. And she says, oh, there's this huge angel. And it was a cathedral ceiling room, conference room. And she said, it's so big, it's bigger than this room, which was like, you know, really tall. And so that felt nice. And then she, all of a sudden she goes, oh, wait, somebody's coming. And he's wearing a burgundy robe. Oh, it's Yeshua, Jesus' name in Hebrew. And that was my confirmation. And so then I thought, oh my gosh, it's real. And that weekend, what we did was, and I was already recording what he would say to me. You would learn to bring that frequency of that being through you, which they call channeling. And so when he entered my body and it hit my heart, I had pains going down my left arm. It was like there must have been such a big blockage in my heart, and that they had to help me energetically move the energy so that he could come in and talk. And so that was how it started. And but I, after that, I had more confidence knowing that it was actually him. And so it's been a definitely a long journey of learning and changing, expanding.
Did you tell her beforehand that you have been talking to him, or was she ignorant to that fact?
She didn't know. I didn't know her at all.
Okay.
I didn't meet her until I got.
That's excellent. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so that's sort of how it started. And then I did have an event. I practiced because he told me that I would speak. He would speak through me, and he gave me a time frame. So he taught me how to do it and how I could step aside and where I would go. I wanted to see, where am I going? I don't want to just leave my body. You know, how will I get back? You know, all these fearful thoughts. And so he showed me, you know, where I'd go. And then, so that's how it started. But the first time that I did this, about 35 people showed up from all over Washington State, just because out of curiosity, I think. And my heart was pounding, and he has me mystical tone a lot before he would come in, which would change the vibration of my body so he could use it a little bit better. And so I started toning, and then he was able to enter. When I came back into myself and he left, people were crying. They saw him and all these, you know, different experiences they had. And, oh, come to Issaquah. Come to Seattle. We want you to come here. I was in business. That was it. My life changed in that moment, and I traveled all over.
Well, did you leave and he took over, or were you there and you witnessed everything that was going on, or what happened in that experience?
Well, sometimes if I wasn't totally gone, I could observe. But most of the time, I wouldn't know what he said. But I would know the energy, the frequency that moved through my body. You know, it would change depending on the topic or what he was talking about. So I would know that experience, that energy would flow through my body, the frequencies of his words. And, but people had phenomenal experiences, and it went on for 7 years.
And you've met thousands of people, and it's changed a lot of lives in extremely positive ways. Can you give us some examples of what that 7 years entailed and how you help people? And why, I mean, is 7 years today, or did it stop? First of all, why 7 years? Is 7 years since you started? Go ahead.
Well, you know, when we began, I didn't want to do this. I was extremely withdrawn and shy, and just toning in front of people was like the scariest thing to do. And also to be doing this and everyone's watching, like, oh, is she going to be able to do it? Is it real? You know, and so you feel all that energy around you and you have to perform basically, you know, and it has to work. And what if it doesn't work? So, you know, I had my own concerns there for sure. And so if I was, the more peaceful I was, the more relaxed I was, the more I would believe it's really going to happen, it would be a much better transition of me leaving and him coming. So 7 years was a number that he gave me. And my mind, when he asked me if I would do this, I said no immediately. And then he said, well, I would like you to contemplate this and I'll be back in a few days. So then I thought about it logically and I thought, well, if I don't do it, I'll never know what I missed. If I do it, I could always stop. However, I never could stop. I tried. And I had said yes, I had made this agreement and I was gonna have to stick to that agreement. So so 7 years was what we agreed on. And so then I decided that I would stop. And I thought, well, what am I going to do now, you know, since I let go of my career and everything before. So I was already a massage therapist. He had me do that and a lot of other things. And I decided, well, I will become a yoga teacher. I love yoga. And so I went to Kapalu and took their yoga training for a month. And so that's how it started. However, you know, he had a plan for me. So when I went to this school to learn how to massage, he had me do spiritual massages. And I went to Bellevue, Washington, and there was a large group of people.
Before we get into the massages, can we talk more about that 7 years? What, because I want to circle back to this, but in that seven years, what was the point? What was his mission? What was it to do? And how did you change people's lives? Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I asked him, what is the name of this work that we're doing? And he said, Celestial Teachings, A Mission and Truth. So that's been the name of my so-called work as an overall umbrella. It's a mission and truth. And I didn't know what that means, but now I do know that he has brought me the wisdom that he knew and lived, like these laws of the universe and how you apply them to your moment-to-moment life. And he taught me, it's very practical, so men seem to like it. And it helps them to cope in business with relationships. People open up, like their heart opens, they're touched, they're moved, they're changed, and they have what he calls, that's a mystical experience. Now you can have a mystical experience looking at a sunset also, where something deeply touches you and you feel it and it shifts and changes you. Because his words each had a life of their own. He even says that the sound of the spoken word, every sound you speak, is a living being. Because he lives in a different world than I do. But I live in his world more now, the world, living in the world, but not of it. And that each word has a realm beyond the intellect. So when I say something, the whole universe responds to me. And it comes back to me as an experience or a lesson or, you know, something happens. So, you know, so people would learn these laws and how to apply them. And of course, the prayers, it was very devotional, praying to this spirit inside of you, the Caduceus. It's an Egyptian practice, and that's the healing symbol of our medical field. And so, of course, it healed you. It was mental, emotional, or physical. So people would come and they would say, like, oh, I felt his hand going into, they're in a wheelchair, into my liver. And he was doing something in there, you know, and then they would get well. You know, I mean, person came to retreat once with crutches, and after the first day, they didn't need them because he had a Lyme's disease thing, and it was causing him a lot of difficulty in his movement. And so things happened. You know, people had their own unique experience if they were open to receive.
So you, every time you did a retreat, there were people who were healed, it sounded like. Did you, what kind of healing went on? You talked about people coming out of crutches. What other kinds of healing did you see?
Well, a lot, of course, change in someone's demeanor and their personality and their ability to have fun and laugh and be lighthearted. That was very common. Or having just this sense of peace and security. And, you know, if you read all these testimonials I have from these experiences, you know, they're just all over. The mind chatter stops, you know, and there's peace, you know, which is a lot of things. That's very common for people, that they finally, you know, have that mind that's constantly talking all the time or worrying disappear, and they finally can feel connected to something greater, you know, peace or joy, or they get more in touch with their feelings and what they truly desire. I had one retreat in Hawaii, and this was, I thought this was fascinating. It was about your inner male and your inner female aspects of your personality, your thinking and your emotions. How do they match and how do they work together? And it was called Sacred Matrimony. And so this young woman in her 30s, very beautiful, she was gay. And the first night, I don't know what happened. You know, we were doing the first day. And the next day, she doesn't come to class. We're in a big holly in a retreat center in Hawaii. So we all have rooms. And then there's this big room that's the conference room. And she doesn't come. And then finally, the next day, she comes back, and she says, I threw up for the whole night and the morning. And what I saw was I was castrating my own male energy. And I really want to be, I don't want to be gay. I want to get married and have a child. And within 6 months, she went home and she was engaged to a woman, broke the relationship, they were living together, and she found someone, they got married, and they had a child. So that's traumatic, don't you think? I mean, that's really phenomenal that somebody could do that. So whatever happens, I don't know. I don't know what touches and what happens inside of someone's being that causes these changes. But it happens. And I speak now, you know, a lot of times in churches for Sunday sermons and do workshops. And one time I spoke in New Jersey. There was about 70 people in the room. It was an evening event. And this woman emailed me afterwards and said that she was a musician, but she had lost her hearing. And during my talk, her hearing returned, so she could get back to her life's passionate work. You know, things like that. But I don't know what happened. I didn't do it. It's the energy, the frequencies that move through us, because everybody is frequency and everything is frequency. So, you know, that frequency just does what it does. And obviously she was open and ready and probably had been praying for help. So
that's really remarkable.
Just, and right now I'm seeing this emerald green light around you. You know, it's like it's around your head and your left shoulder, and it's beautiful. The background's green, but this is emerald. So that's the color of healing. And so you're open to heal, you know, to have a shift, to have a change, to expand. And so it's just, so I see all that, you know, and then I can read the frequencies.
Well, I hope my that frequency is shared with the audience, because that's kind of, I mean, that's the point. That's the point of this show. It's the point of all my shows.
Right.
All my shows, even the really bad
right.
ones. The ultimate mm-hmm. goal is for us to heal and to become better as humanity. Some of the darkest shows that I do on, you know, child trafficking or a victim that I might have on, it's still about helping us heal. And because we have to face some of that darkness to heal. So I'm hoping, I'm really glad you said that, because I think that's what the point of my show is. And even when I talk about economics, it's about how do we set this up so that it's better for humanity and not get ourselves into all these horrible situations and fight it, you know? And I'm not saying fight it violently. I'm saying fight it persistently. And I'm hoping that's what you see here.
I do. So you're doing a great job.
Well, good.
Thank you for everything you do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's talk about your moving on now. You decided not to do that. Why did you decide not to? I mean, what a remarkable thing you were doing. Why did you want to stop?
Well, I didn't necessarily want to. You know, I mean, I had a lot of people that I got to know well, and they were, you know, fun. We had a lot of fun when we go to retreat. And I was in Hawaii, and there was 26 people there. And a lot of them were for Canada, because it was, you know, winter. And so, and I walked across the lawn to this holly, because I was in another quarters. And he announced to me, "You will not channel me this retreat." And it was a 7-day retreat. And I said, "Well, what am I going to do? They all came to hear you. They didn't come to be with me." And he said, "Lay down. You're ready to teach and just do your practice." So I told them, and they knew me, and they were open for an adventure, I guess. And I said, "So I don't know, but I'm going to lay down. We're going to start the practice." So I did. And what's happened was this energy, I was speaking words. I had never heard the words. I talked all about the sacred seals, which are in the book of Enoch, and they're also talked about in the Revelations, the book of Revelations, the great seals, they call them sometimes, the sacred seals, which is a kingdom of heaven within you. And they're pyramid-shaped energy centers. So I'm talking about them. Like, I know everything about them. I couldn't tell you everything that I said now, because the energy just flows through you in the moment. And it's like you don't remember. But it was all recorded, thank goodness. So and suddenly, you know, all this activity happened in the body. It was like Old Faithful going off inside of you. And you have kriyas in yoga. They call it kriyas, which are involuntary movements, because frequencies affect your nervous system greatly. Our nervous system is our energy system, as well as, you know, the meridians. So you start, you know, having, like, if you have a blockage in the shoulder, you might do that. Small, you know, like, just without doing it, like I just did it. So things like that. And everybody in the room was doing it with me after a while. And then we went into these states of ecstasy and bliss, where the energy moves you to such a degree, you go into a tantric experience. And so that was, you know, the beginning of my really taking over as a teacher. And we did a weaning, like he would come still, but I did the majority of the teaching. So of course, most people left because they really didn't want to hear me. So I had to start all over again, basically, you know. And So I've developed as a teacher now, and, you know, people will have similar experiences in my classes as he also was able to bring them. And then he told me on the very end of 2016, that I would heal as he healed soon. And I thought, never, that I can never do that. Well, it happened 6 months later. And, for a fourth stage cancer person that was going into the hospital. And it's happened periodically because if I'm not doing it, but if spirit wants that person to have the experience of spontaneous healing, they will have it.
You had somebody with four stage cancer that would heal, that healed.
Yes.
Wow. And it was it more because they were open to it and they believed and they healed themselves? Or, I mean, what really happened there?
Well, the story is that the woman was referred to me by her friend, who was one of her best friends, and she wanted me to work on her. And I said, well, I don't want to do that unless, you know, it's going to be effective. So let me ask Jesus if I should even see her. And so he said yes, and he gave her prayers to say before she came. And so she did that. And she also got one of my books. Somebody gave it to her. And she started reading it. And so she came to the appointment. She was in a Center for Spiritual Living, which is a New Thought church. So she was open to the possibilities of anything happening. You know, she was opened. And she, of course, wanted something to happen. She was an attorney and a very beautiful woman and young. You know, she was like only probably in her 50s. So, I just, you know, spoke with her for a while and taught her a few things she needed to know. And Jesus spoke and said that he would be every person that touched her when she entered that hospital, the person that checked her in, the nurses, anybody that had anything to do with her, and that he would be the surgeon, which he does often for people. And so, you know, she reported that to me later, it did happen. And then afterwards, I had never done this before. You know, it's just like somehow I was moved to say, may I pray over you? And I put one hand on her back and one of them, I think, was on her head somewhere or her neck. And I asked this living substance of life if she could be healed. And the energy, she said, that went into her just went down her spine. And all of a sudden through her whole body, and it was this amazing feeling and light. And then the voice said, they will find no trace of cancer. And I told her, and I was crying with, you know, joy for her, tears were there. And I believed it in that moment, you know. And so she went, and the next morning, very early, of course, she was in the hospital having a surgery. She reported back that everyone was so kind and loving, and that the doctor who was going to take everything out imaginable and have it be very aggressive, because it was a very difficult, a very dangerous melanoma, and she only had 6 months to live, was the prognosis, and she'd had two different, you know, tests done. So she said the doctor touched her arm where this cancer was and said, it's going to be okay. And then when she got on the table, she said she had some pain in her heart and she felt like her heart had opened and then she was gone. You know, she was under. And her pathology came back in 10 days and it said, you have no trace of cancer, you're 100% cancer free. The only follow up is have your stitches taken out and see your dermatologist once a year.
Wow.
So it absolutely happened.
Okay, well, how do you...
And, you know, I...
Go ahead.
I was almost shocked, you know, because it was so unbelievable for me, but it did happen. You know, And I know I didn't do anything other than pray.
So
And
how
not
do
a
you,
very long prayer.
how do you get around, you know, whenever you hear about healing and you hear about the work that you do, you will of course be accused of making it up or not being real. And you're never going to stop that kind of criticism. But how do you get around that? How do you help people have faith that the work that you do or you teach people to do is real? You know, how do you help people with that hurdle?
Well, I just basically allow my divinity to speak through me. And it always has the answer. It always knows what to say. And the words are filled with love. And the love is the healing. And it softens their rigid energy of resistance. And they can be in resistance, but it doesn't affect me anymore. You know, I mean, I have faith. I have never been able to have notes. And I would sit there waiting to be introduced to speak to this church, not knowing what I was talking about. And I'd say, please just tell me, give me a topic. And he would, just before they announced me, and I'd walk up there. And you know, I taught me to listen to your heart. That was my biggest lesson. And in your heart, sacred heart is holy wisdom. If you just allow it to speak, it will. I'm sure you say things and you think, how did I know that? Right? At times when you're on a show or you're writing and you're in that flow, and it just sort of comes. It's not a mental activity.
When I'm connected, I always say I'm really good at BSing when I'm connected. But yeah, there's something, you just are connected for some reason. Yeah. But let me ask you, at the end of the day, what you're teaching is so beautiful and it's so good that it doesn't matter. You know, I'm just trying to tell people it doesn't matter whether you fully believe or not. It's such a positive, bright light that it can't do any harm,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just such a beautiful thing. And so if you're one of those people that think that, you know, this is not for you, that's fine, but it doesn't harm anybody. And if you let it just kind of go with the flow and see what's going on here, it can't do anything but good. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because I knew there was going to be a lot of, I have a pretty edgy show from the standpoint of finance and all these things that maybe people that listen might not be receptive to some of this. But my thing is just let it go. You know, we have to figure out a way to get past the ugliness that we're bombarded with on a daily basis and to be able to have peace and still fight that. Fight what we're dealing with diligently and still be at peace and be happy and not come home and harm your family because you have so much stress. You need to figure out how to have peace and be able to still fight this good fight that we're fighting. And I think your teaching really helps people with that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, for me, you know, I focus on the blessings of the day. And maybe it's because the sun's shining, you know, and it's blue skies today and it's not raining because it's, you know, moving into fall and it's getting colder and here it's already snowed once. And so, you know, I mean, that could be and that brings me such joy. You know, it's the simple things in life that matter. And so I'm grateful for everything. And that's what I do is I'm always thanking the universe for these blessings. And a blessing in his teachings, his original teachings, which were of the Aramaic language, the word was tuvehun, and it means ready and ripe. So I have to be ready for the blessing. If I'm going to have a blessing, I need to be ripe and ready. So saying gratitude, you know, helps you to be receptive to blessings. So tomorrow more blessings will come. if we're grateful.
So you did something to prepare for the show. You decided you were going to speak to him and ask him what you should discuss and what message that people out there really need to hear. Can you share that with us?
Yes, he said the science of frequencies. So Jesus lived a scientific life. So he's taught me the science of the body, the science of life, the science of miracles, and it's all about science of frequency, because that frequency is the bottom of everything. You know, if I'm grateful, that's a frequency. If you've ever read Dr. Emoto's books on the crystals, that gratitude crystal, I saw him speak, and it was amazing. We sang Heartbreak Hotel, on the screen, the crystal of the heart was there, and as we sang, it cracked, the broken heart, you know, and because we were singing about the broken heart. So the heart cracked. There was a line right down the center. Then we would sing other things, and it would change. So the crystal for gratitude is beautiful. And so then your whole, all the water in your body, and we are mostly water, which is what conducts the energy, the frequencies. All that water in my body has the frequency, the crystals of gratitude, the crystal of love, the crystal of joy, the crystal of peace. So what we speak, every word, like he says, affects everything. He says the spoken word is power itself. So when we hear all this negative news, which we do, it is bombarding people, or we hear things that the good news is telling, but it's truth and it's rather hard to hear some of it. You know, it can make you rather depressed, I guess, or sad in different things, depending on what's happening on that show. You know, so that those frequencies then change our whole demeanor. They change our emotional body, our physical body, our mental body, and they can affect us deeply. So we have to know how to return to a positive frequency and see it as a blessing, because now people are becoming aware. And once you know, you can choose to do something about it. So I have to know what's really going on to make the choice for myself. And I teach others that don't be so depressed about it. See it as a blessing, and I can make a choice, and I can actually help change the world.
Not be fearful of the truth and
yes.
face it with courage. That's the only way
Correct.
We're gonna be able to change things. Well, how
yes.
can people learn more about you and your amazing work that you're doing?
Well, I have a website. It's called mysticalegyptianyoga.com. And I have a special for everyone that's listening to this and is interested, to if you want to have a private session with me, and I'm calling them frequency sessions, it's 50% off, and I record them so that you can have it to replay, because a lot of things are said and you don't always remember, you know, everything that's said, so that you can begin this process of change on a daily basis to lift you out of any place you don't want to be, back up into a positive, loving, joyful, abundant energy. So I'm doing 2020 is going to be an amazing year. And the frequencies of 2020, I'm doing them in retreats, you know, that we can use them. So one of them is, it's already started, because if you've noticed, which I know you have, because you are in this business of revealing all of it, how it's getting faster and faster, more stuff's coming, more good's happening, and more darkness is being revealed so that good can happen. change can infiltrate that. So that's what this new year's about, you know, and it's about like, you know, and it's the number of perfection. So it's perfect. We're going into a perfect time, the dark and the light, but the light will win. Because once I was in Illinois and I was with friends, I was working there, and we took a walk and we went to this little park and there was a monument there and we sat down and they were explaining to me that Lincoln and Madison had debated there and they made this monument. And so all of a sudden, Lincoln enters my body and he starts talking. And it was all about freedom. And that we cannot fail, we will not fail, that love and light will prevail forever. And not give up, but keep trying, keep doing it, and never give up, because if you give up, he says you die. And so, you know, it was just such an uplifting moment. I've always remembered that because I just really love President Lincoln and what he stood for. So, you know, we are doing it and we're going to do it and we cannot fail. We cannot fail. I love that. So, you know, I try to bring that to people so they can remember it. And to be part of it, to join in, and to be part of something so great that will go down in history, you know, that it will be the most remarkable thing that's ever happened. And so, and I, you know, really honor everyone that's working towards this, and I'm very grateful for everyone that's participating in their own way with this.
Thank you so much for joining the show today. I so much appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really thrilled that I could share this with you. Thank you. Peace be with you.